Your Bibles, please, to Ezekiel, the 16th chapter. Ezekiel chapter 16 in your Scofield Bible, page 854. We'll be reading the first 8 verses of this chapter. And as we usually do, we'll read the verses responsively. Ezekiel 16, verses 1 through 8, page 854. May we stand, please, for the reading of this passage of Scripture. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field, to the loathing of thy person, in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field. Thou hast increased and waxen great. And thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee, and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Let's pray. Father, we, of course, have been blessed tremendously so in this service, and the musical service preceding this one, and we're so thankful for our church and for the many opportunities that available to us. And of course, this evening's service has been a standby for so many of us for so many years. It's something that we need week by week. The families together when we hear thy word in a special, unique sense. This is so on Sunday evenings. Meet with us, blessed with thy power, in Jesus' name. Amen.
For those of you who stay awake during the sermons, a little concerned that I'm preaching the same sermon I preached 2 weeks ago and you read the same scripture a while ago. To most of you, you have no idea at all that there's anything. And then I'm sure you're wondering how in the world we can preach on falling from grace from the scripture we used a while ago. Well, you just sit still and leave the driving to me. Everything is going to be all right. You have no need to worry at all. I'm using, of course, the same scripture that you, as you know, those of you that stay awake through the reading of the scriptures. The Colston is a rather boring scripture reader, but I want to speak tonight. And by the way, I will have preached 2-3 hours before you will find out what falling from grace has to do with this sermon tonight. In fact, it'll be right at the end of the sermon, sometime at the end of our watch night service, and you'll find out how it applies to falling from grace. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this book, for this wonderful portion of this book, to which we call our attention this evening. Now I pray you bless the message to our hearts, and the messenger as he speaks, and the recipients as they hear. In Jesus' name, amen. With the coming of Mr. Bethel to our service during pastor school on Wednesday night, my memories have been stirred a great deal about my childhood and the circumstances surrounding my conversion, and also my beginner and primary department days. I've been, by the way, Mr. Bethel, I don't know if I told you this or not, sent me three pictures. One of a picture of a group of workers in the church when I was a little boy, 6 years old, 5 or 6 years old, and Mrs. Bethel is in that picture. I hadn't seen a picture of her ever. I now have a picture of Mrs. Bethel. And then there was a picture of all the children and teenagers and children in the Sunday school out in front of the church. And I'm in that picture taken many years ago. I was as cute. Oh, my soul, I was cute. And I'm still pretty cute if you'd like to know it. But I said, I'm still pretty cute if you'd like. Thank you very much. But my memories have been running wild, rampant. I've been thinking about Mrs. Bethel, and of course I remembered her, but not as vividly as the picture reveals her, and I'm so happy to have my memory totally restored concerning Mrs. Bethel. And I remember Mrs. Hazelwood, who the day I got saved walked up to me that morning and said, Jackie Boy, the WMS of our church had a prayer meeting this week, and we had a special meeting just to pray for you that you'd be saved. I've been remembering Mr. Atwood, who was my junior teacher, and of course Mr. Bethel, my primary boys teacher, Mrs. Bethel, my beginner superintendent, Brother McElroy, the man who baptized me, big 6'4" giant of a fellow who baptized me, and Little Bridge out behind the Fernwood Baptist Church over a small little ravine there like thing where I knelt and prayed when I was a little boy, nearly 1 month from 11 years of age, and received Christ as my Savior. It all seems so simple that night. We're having services out behind the church. It was an August night, and having services outside. And as I was walking out, I've been under conviction. As I was walking out, I knelt there on that little bridge, gangplank like a thing. Couldn't have been over, wasn't as long as from here to that organ rail there. Probably 6-8 feet long from the back door across to the backyard. And there that night, with lights outside in the outdoor service, I realized that I'd been saved, and I realized that I was going to walk the aisle. And one other person walked the aisle that night, one other boy older than I. And I've been reliving all of that, but something wonderful happened that night to me, though it all seemed so simple. That night, God entered into a covenant with me. We read it a while ago. God said, I enter into a covenant with you. Now, this covenant that God entered with me that night, or entered into with me that night, was made at God's suggestion. There was nothing in me that deserved that covenant that God made with me. And that covenant required nothing of me whatsoever. It goes back to the story I used 2 weeks ago tonight about the little baby that was left to die. In fact, the cord of birth was still attached to his little navel. And the little baby was lying there in his blood, and somebody came by. God likens that somebody to himself and likens that baby to us, his people. And somebody came by, and they saw that little baby. Somebody thought he was left for dead. Somebody thought he'd be lifeless, but he was still breathing and lying in his own blood with his little cord sticking out from his navel. And they saw that little baby, not washed, no swaddling clothes, lying in his own blood. And God said, I came to you like a person came to that little baby. And God said, I spread my skirt over you. That's what he did. He covered you with his own personal righteousness and linen righteousness. And he said, I washed you. That's what he did. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I washed you, he said. And then he said, I bathed you in oil, like a person would take a little baby and bathe that little body, supple that little body with oil. And that's exactly what God did when God came and clothed me in his own righteousness and washed me from my sins. Then God placed the oil of the Holy Spirit inside me, and the Holy Spirit indwells me even forever. And then he said, I covered you with fine linen. And that fine linen is a symbol of what they sang about a while ago. A trio sang a while ago covered in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. When God looks down from heaven tonight, though I'm not perfect, I almost am, but though I'm not perfect, God sees me as perfect. And if you ask God tonight about old Hiles, you know, what's old Hiles done wrong lately? God said, I've got the foggiest idea. Haven't got the foggiest idea because my sins are covered in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then it says that God, like a person came this little baby and placed jewels on this little baby and gave food. Now this is the story of my salvation. And washed and clothed and bathed in oil and blessed and given food. And then God looked at this little infant like he would look at us, using this infant as a type, and God looked at this little infant and said, I have entered into a covenant with you. Now listen, this little infant couldn't do a single thing to make an agreement with God. This little infant couldn't do a single thing to save itself. And you can't do anything to save yourself, but just let God do it. Little girl said, I did the letting and Jesus did the saving. That's all you can do, just do the letting. That's all this little baby did, but just do the letting. No, you can't do anything to save yourself, and a church can't do anything to save yourself, and a priest can't do anything to save you, and a pope can't do anything to save you, and a baptistry can't do anything to save you, and a communion cup can't do anything to save you. It's all of him, and you can't do any more to save yourself than that little baby lying in his own blood with his cord still attached to his body, naked and clothed and almost dying, could do to give life to himself. God did it all. Now, God said, I'm entering into a covenant with you. And I love this story. He said, you're mine. That's what he said. He said, you're mine. And I, by the way, I'm his. Now I belong to Jesus. And Jesus belongs to me, not for the day, years of time alone, but for eternity. And so he said, you're mine. He said, I own you. And by the way, he owns you too, by the way. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your own body. Oh, you say, preach, this is my life, I can do what I want to. You can do what you want to, but it's not your life. And you'll be a thief if you live your life and choose what kind of life you live. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You have no right to do your will. You weren't saved to do your will. You are saved to be His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I'm His. He says, you're mine. I own you. And He said, you always will be mine. Now there you come to the security of the believer. You always will be mine. I said, you always will be mine. But you say, Brother Hiles, what if I sin? You always will be mine. What if I don't hold out faithful to the end? You didn't hold out faithful in the beginning. You always will be mine. What if I stumble and fall? You always will be mine. What if I have some doubt? You always will be mine. Hey, the moment that you got saved, God entered into a covenant with you, and God said, you're mine, I own you, and you always will be mine. And he said, the reason you will is I'm entering into a covenant with you. Now, let me explain what a covenant meant to the Jews. When two Jews made a covenant with each other, the covenant-er and the covenant-e, I guess you'd say, the covenant-er, the person who made the covenant, are you listening? He had to say out loud that he was making the covenant. In other words, Brother Colston and I made a covenant with each other. I said, Brother Colston, I'll be your friend forever. Now, I won't, but if I ever said that, I'll be your friend forever. I had to say it out loud. Now the second thing that the covenanter had to do, he had to write down his covenant. First, he said it out loud, and second, he wrote it down. Now the third thing he had to do, he had to raise his hand and swear that he was entering into this covenant. I get it? He said it, he wrote it, and he swore to it. Now, the third thing that two people had to do, Brother Colston, step up here if you would, please. They had to strike hands like this, or shake hands like this, or hit hands like this. You better move and get out of the way. I'll hit you back there. All right? They had to shake hands or smite hands. Thank you, Brother Colston. Now, so the fifth thing they had to do, all this was in making a covenant. Now, look, it's a man who's honest, it's enough to say it. But, I mean, to bind this covenant, he had to say it.
Then you had to write it down. And then you had to raise your hand and swear to it. And then you had to strike hands. And then, oh boy, the covenanter had to kill a lamb. And the killing of that lamb, they looked at that dead lamb, and the covenanter said to the covenantee, he said, I kill one of my lambs. And if I would kill, are you listening? If I would kill one of my lambs, that proves that I keep my word. Now, it's enough for him to say it. An honest man will just say it. That's enough. But to doubly make it effective, he wrote it down. And then to triply make it effective, he raised his hand and swore to it. And then to make it effective even more, he struck hands and shook hands with the covenantee. And then to make it more effective, he took a lamb from his own flock, killed that lamb, one of his lambs without blemish, and killed that lamb, and said, okay, I gave one of my lambs, and that lamb is there as a token of the fact I will keep my word. But that isn't all. He took the blood of that lamb and placed that blood in view of the covenantee, so the covenantee could see the blood that was shed by that lamb, so the covenantee could believe that the covenanter meant his word. Don't you see all the security that he gave here to the person who was making the covenant? He said, first he had to say it. He said, I will do what I said I'll do. I'll do it. Then he had to write it down. He said, I'll write down what I said I will do. Then he had to swear. I swear that I will do what I wrote down and what I said I will do. Then he shook his hands and said, shake on it, or smite hands on it. I shake hands that I will keep what I swore to do, that I wrote down to do, that I said I would do. And then he killed a lamb and said, look at that lamb. I took that precious lamb out of my flock to remind you that when I shook hands, I meant what I said. When I swore I'd do it, that I swore that I would do it because I'd written what I'd do, and I wrote what I'd do because I'd said what I'd do. He said, look at that blood, and that blood will remind you that I told you the truth when I shed the lamb, that I told you the truth when I shook your hands, that I told you the truth when I raised my hand to swear, that I told you the truth when I wrote it down, that I told you the truth when I said it. Then the blood was kept as a token. And then he had to write the name. Are you listening? He had to write down the name of the covenantee, the person to whom he made the covenant, John Colston, and he had to keep for some time that name in the palm of his hand. Now, that name in the palm of his hand reminded him of the blood that was proof, which reminded him of the lamb that was proof, which reminded him of the handshake that was proof, which reminded him of the swearing that it was proof, which reminded him of the writing of the proof, which reminded him of the statement that he made. Now then, when God said, I'm entering into a covenant with you, he meant all of those things. Now, you know where I'm going already, but I'm going to go there anyhow because I'm going to enjoy this trip. Now, so what happened is this. When I got saved as a little boy outside the Fernwood Baptist Church on that little bridge out there over that little ravine, as a boy a month away from being 11 years of age, God said, you're saved. He said, and that's enough. If you've done nothing else, that's enough. An honest person, his word is as good as his signature, and his signature is as good as his bond. God said it. God said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I believe, so I'm saved. God said it. God said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, in John 3:36, and I believe on the Son, I have everlasting life. And God said, quit doubting your salvation. Just come to place and say, I'm a sinner, and he's a Savior, and I'm going to trust him to take me to heaven when I die, and then believe what he said. Quit calling God a liar. He said it. He said in John 3:14 through 16, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Bless your little pea-pick in heart. I believe in him, so he said, I have everlasting life. I believe in him, so he said, I have eternal life. Brother, I know I'm saved because I tingle. I wouldn't want to trust a tingle to get me saved. I know I'm saved because I was there and it happened. Well, that's not enough for me. I want God to say it. Hey, God says I'm saved. And God, who cannot lie, says that I'm saved. He entered into an everlasting covenant with me. And that covenant is this. You are mine. You're not mine because of what you are. You're not mine because of who you are. You're not mine because of what you've done. You're not mine because of what somebody's done. You're not mine because of accomplishment. You're not mine because of good works. You're not mine because of joining the church. Well, why am I yours? You're just mine. You let me save you, and I did it, and I am entering into, and the Bible says, an everlasting covenant. I'm his. But God said, having trouble believing it? So I'll write it down for you. So I wrote a book. What he said, he put in a book. Of course, some of you folks don't know where the book is. I mentioned the other day that Mr. Stanley on television preaches out of the NIV Bible. Somebody wrote some nut wrote me a letter, anonymous, of course. I don't read anonymous notes, but that was snuck up on me. He said, you're wrong. Mr. Standard does not preach out of the NIV Bible. He preaches out the American Standard. Whether you've seen one Westcott and Hart, you've seen them all. I don't care what it is. NIV, HIV, LIV, CIV, what it is. Brother, that book right there, the King James Bible, has been preserved. God wrote it down. You say, Brother Howells, how do you know you're saved? Because God has entered into a covenant with me, and God entered that covenant when I was 11 years old, when I knelt on that little gangplank bridge, and I looked up and said, if you'll have a little son of an alcoholic dad, a poor little boy in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas, I'll take a Savior like you. And that moment, God entered into a covenant with me. And he said, I'm going to tell you that I've entered that covenant. But he said, in case you have some doubts, I'll write it down. And bless God, there it is, right there. But God says some of my people are going to have a little trouble. Still, I write it down. So he said, you want more? He said, I'll swear to it. So God in heaven not only says I'm saved and entered into an everlasting covenant that I am his. Everlastingly his. Not till I do something wrong. Not till I make a mistake. Not till I don't deserve it. I'm everlastingly his. Not only do I have everlasting life, but I have signed, sealed, and delivered from Jehovah God himself an everlasting covenant that I'm his and always will be his. God's okay. You want some more proof? I, God, do solemnly swear that if you'll believe on me, I'll save you. I solemnly swear, Jackie Boy Hiles, I solemnly swear, since you trusted me as your Savior, you are mine, I own you, and you always will be mine. You little penury people that think your salvation hinges on what you do, and you'll lose it if you quit it, or lose it if you do something you don't. You haven't got the foggiest idea what the grace of God is all about. God is not a God that rewards you with a home in heaven because you earn it. God's a God who gives it to you because of his marvelous grace. I swear, he said, I swear by an oath. God says, I said it, that's enough. I wrote it, that's extra. I swear it's true. But God says, you're still having some problems, are you? Okay, he said, I'll make the covenant surer. I'll take a lamb. I will let my love kill that lamb. And you look at that lamb as the covenantee looked at the lamb that the covenanter slain from his head, killed his own flock. And the covenanter said to the covenantee, you don't think I'm telling you the truth when I said it, when I wrote it, when I swore? He said, that's my lamb. I'm giving you a lamb for my own flock. And God in heaven gave us the Lamb of God. And Jesus came, and John the Baptist pointed to him in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, in verse 29, and he did not say, behold, the King cometh, He did not say, "Behold, the Son of God cometh." He did not say, "Behold, the Son of Man cometh." He did not say, "Behold, the Savior cometh." He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." You wonder if your salvation's forever. You wonder if you're not His in an everlasting covenant. You just look at Calvary. You see God's accepted Lamb they sang so well about a while ago. And you see that Lamb on Calvary. And you see God the Father looking down and seeing His own Son's hands pierced with nails, His own feet pierced with nails and spikes, and His side pierced with a sword, and His head pierced with a crown of thorns built on His head. And see God looking down and seeing sin on Him, your sin and my sin. And God turned His back upon Jesus, and Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Hey, you think I don't belong to Him forever? Look at Calvary. Look at the Lamb that He shed, gave for me. You still got some problem believing God said? We'll go a step further. I'm trying to get you doubters to quit doubting. Brother Howes, I just doubt myself. Good, I doubt myself too, but don't doubt Him. And this is His covenant, not mine. An unconditional covenant. He didn't say to that little baby lying there in His own blood, been born a few minutes, "And you get baptized and I'll make a covenant with you. Tell you what you do, you start tithing. I'll make a covenant with you." That little baby there lying naked in His own blood with His umbilical cord still on his navel. He said, "I tell you what you do. You straighten up your life and quit your drinking, and I'll make a covenant with you." There wasn't a single thing that little baby could do but just lie there. And the Jehovah God of grace and mercy said, "I don't ask you to do a thing. Let me do my work." And God said, "I'll make a covenant with you." He said, "I said it. That's all I need to say." But He said, "I'll give you a little extra assurance. I'll write it down. But if that doesn't give you all the assurance you want, I'll raise my hand and swear to it." And if God's saying it and God writing it down, and by the way, if you're doubting your salvation, you're casting a reflection on the veracity and integrity of Almighty God. He said, "If my swearing to it, saying it, writing it down, swearing to it's not enough," He said, "then I will give you a lamb." But He said, "That isn't all. If that doesn't give you enough," He said, "I will take the blood of that lamb," hold it now, "and I'll place that blood in front of you where you can see it every day of your life. And you can walk by," said Jehovah God to this little baby, "I'll place the covenantee, I'll place the blood of this lamb I just shed for you and let you see that blood. Now you can't see the carcass of this lamb because it'll rot, it'll decay, you'll have to bury it. But I'll let that blood of the Lamb stay right there. Every time you walk by, you see it. I walk by, I see it. Every time you walk by, you remember I made a covenant. Every time I walk by, I'll remember I made a covenant." And God said, "I will have the blood of my Lamb placed at my presence in heaven on the mercy seat." And tonight Jehovah God looks at the blood that was shed by His Lamb on Calvary, and God is reminded constantly that He made a covenant with you. God said, "You're still having some problems?" Okay, He said, to make it surer, the covenanter had to write the name of the covenantee on a card or some paper or something and keep it for a certain period of time before Him all the time. Sometime when you have time, you turn to Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 16 and you read where the Heavenly Father says, "I have graven thee on the palm of my hand. I have graven thee on the palm of my hands." Praise the Lord. Tonight, every time the Father opens His hand, He sees my name. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and my name is written on the hand of Jehovah God. Oh, you say, how could God put all these names in the palm of His hand? Have you been reading these little things they put the whole Bible on? Huh? One little bit of doojigger about that big. They got every word's been said ever since that, and even the Garden of Eden just about on that little doojigger. Well, if we can do that, I bet you God could. Hey, tonight, go back to the moment that you trusted Jesus as your Savior. go back to that moment. It was an insignificant seeming thing. You just knelt at the altar, trusted the Savior. That's all you did. Maybe in your home, some soul winner came by and told you the story of salvation. Or maybe somebody witnessed to you on a street corner somewhere. Or maybe in Sunday school class, some teacher talked to you. And you sincerely said, I do now receive Jesus as my Savior. I don't care how simple it seemed. The God of heaven, the everlasting Father, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the glory of the world and universe, the creator of everything. God entered into a covenant that moment with you. God said to you, I'm saying it, you're mine. You believe me? I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to believe it. I believe I'm His because He said I'm His. People oftentimes say to me, you know you'd go to heaven if you died. You sure are cocky. Well, I may be cocky. If you're as pretty as I am, it's hard not to be cocky. I'm not cocky about myself. I'm cocky about my Jesus. He said it! I said He said it! I said He said it! I'm His! I'm His forever! How do I know He said it? I didn't know. He wrote it. Wrote it. You've heard me tell this often, but I'll have to tell it in perfect illustration. Becky, our oldest daughter, was always a little bit sneaky. Not mean sneaky, but mischievous sneaky. She and I'd be sitting in the family room some night. She was in high school. She'd say, Daddy, would you take me down and buy me a dress tonight? I said, oh, no way, Jose. No way. She said, Daddy, the sweetheart banquet's coming up. And all the other teenagers are going to have new dresses. I said, the boys are not. She said, Daddy, if you loved me, you'd buy me a new dress for the sweetheart banquet. I said, if I loved you, I'd pay the bills so you can still eat, have a place to live, and clothes to wear. She said, Daddy, why? I said, honey, I don't have the time or the money. Now, the time of the money. I sat there reading the paper, continuing my search for truth. In the Hammond Times. The only place I could find the truth where it said, the end. About 5 minutes had passed, Beckett said, Daddy, if you did have the time and the money, would you buy me a new dress? Well, of course, Puddin'. I love you. I'd buy you a new dress. I'd continue my search for truth futilely. Say, what do you read? The comics? The whole Hammond Times is comic. He said, aren't you scared to say it in public? Well, they might write something bad about you. Then done it. I'm just giving them a reason. That line was dedicated to the reporters that are in the room tonight. Beckett said, Daddy, if you ever do have the time and the money, will you buy me a new dress? Sure, I love you. If I ever have the time and money, I'll buy you a new dress. About 5 minutes had passed. Beckett said, Daddy, would you sign this, please? And there it said, I, Jack Howells, do promise if I ever have the time and the money, will buy Becky Jen Howells a new dress. I'd sign it and give it to her. A few weeks had passed. We'd be sitting in the family room. Stay out of the family room, folks. We'd be sitting in the family room. Becky'd say, Daddy, what you doing tonight? Nothing. You going to be home? Yeah. She was reeling me in. Every once in a while, I'd jerk a little bit, but she'd just keep on reeling. Led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shears is gone. Yeah, I'm going to be home tonight. Oh, goody, goody, goody. I love it when you're home, Daddy. Thank you. Thank you. 5 minutes had passed as I was still searching for the truth. Becky said, Daddy, you got any money? A little. How much do you have, Daddy? Oh, about $50, I guess. I'll go for $50? $50. Would you read that? I, Jack Hiles, do solemnly swear that when I have the time and the money, I'll give Becky Jen Hiles an address. What you going to do about that, Daddy? Ow, 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 ow.
Hey. Have you read that? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Did you write that? Or whosoever believes on him shall not perish but have eternal life. Did you write that? Hey, I'm his. He said it. He wrote it. I'm his. He swore to it. I swear that what I said was true, and I swear that what I wrote was true. Brother, he notarized it. I'm his because he said it. I'm his because he wrote it. I'm his because he swore to it. I'm his because his nail-scarred hand reached down and picked me up. Because the Bible says, I know my sheep and they follow me and they shall never perish, and I give them eternal life, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. And my Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. He said I'm saved. He wrote I'm saved. He swore I was saved. And by his hand, he picked me up and holds me and makes me know that I'm saved. And he said, that isn't all. I killed a lamb on Calvary. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet a thorns compose so rich a crown? You want to know that you're saved? Listen to what I say. You want to know that you're saved? Read what I wrote. You want to know that you're saved? See me swearing that it's true. You want to know that you're saved? I'll shake your hand. I'll pick your hand by my nail-scarred hand. And I'll hold you. Four great reasons to know that I have eternal life. He said, that isn't all. He said, look at my lamb. But that isn't all. I'm going to take the blood of that lamb, put it in heaven so I can see it all the time. I won't forget. And that isn't all. I'm going to take and write in the palm of my hand your name. Every time the Heavenly Father gets up in the morning and says, Son, it's time to rise. There's my name. He remembers how I made a covenant with old Jack. Well, not so old Jack. I made a covenant with him many, many years ago. I made a covenant with him 55 years ago. He's mine. Every time the Heavenly Father says in the evening, Son, go to bed. I'll declare, there's old Jack's name again. He's mine. Fall from grace. Fall from grace. When God made a covenant with me and said, I'm his forever. And wrote, I'm his forever. And swore, I'm his forever. And shook on it, that I'm his forever. And gave his Son, so I can be his forever. And looks at his blood, so I can be his forever. And has my name engraved in his hand, so I can be his forever. Glory to God. What security, what confidence. And anybody in this room can have that tonight. He'll enter into a covenant with you the minute that you trust him as your Savior. And he'll do all the things he did to that little baby left abandoned. And all the things that I've said he will do tonight, he'll do to confirm that. The scripture talks about the blood of the everlasting covenant. The blood of the everlasting covenant. If I sign a piece of paper, I'm sorry, let's go back. If I tell you, I'll pay you on the first of the month, I'll pay you on the first of the month. But if I tell you, and I write it down and sign, I'll pay you on the first of the month, you guarantee I'll pay you on the first of the month. If I swear I'll do it, I'll do it. And if I write it in my hands as a reminder, I'll do it. Praise God tonight. You can't lose what you didn't earn. You can't lose what you didn't work to get. Because it's his covenant with you, an everlasting covenant. I don't know anything that will make me want to serve God more than that. But, oh, Brother House, if I believe that, I just get saved and get that covenant and go out and sin all I want to. If you got what I got, you sin more than you want to. I don't want to sin at all. See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, a thorns composed, so rich a crown, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, and my all. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful covenant. What a wonderful truth. What a blessed reality. I sure do feel secure tonight. Snuggled in the promise of God. Snuggled in the statement of God. Snuggled in the written word of God. Snuggled in the oath of God. Snuggled in the handshake of God. Snuggled in the offering of God. Snuggled in the blood of Christ. And snuggled in his hands, where my name is written. Our heads are bowed.